Health Plan phone line and talk with Kyle Malin. He is the editor of the MERS newsletter. Do you have your young baby with you, Kyle?
Oh, can you hear Finnegan?
I can.
Yeah, I think the binky fell out of the mouth there. Mom's sleeping.
You know, whenever I hear a child when we do an interview, it reminds me of when I did a show with Tim Stout, and he told me about the time when he first started his show at his house, and you would hear his young sons, and he had three of them going in and out of the bathroom flushing the toilet while he was trying to do a radio show.
Well, this guy ain't going to the toilet, trust me. He's only 3 weeks.
And well, at least he's sleeping through the night, though. That's pretty good.
Oh, no, very much not doing that.
All right, well, let's move forward. We'll make him the most intelligent baby in the world after talking with you. A couple things I want to talk about. Boy, the McCotter charges, are those nasty? And he has really given an eyesore to his party as well as his campaign.
You know, and this wasn't talked about much at the press conference yesterday that I was at there in Detroit with Bill Schuette, listing out those felony and misdemeanor charges against four former staffers of McCotter. But it really did sound like there was a kind of a lazy indifference displayed here by these staffers, that they had used these petition signatures that had been used in 2006 and had been doing something similar as far back as maybe 2008, in which they were taking petitions, cut and pasting them onto new petition forms for 2012. You know, it's just, it's really amazing that, you know, in this day and age, that they thought that they could get away with it. But because of a Secretary of State, part-time clerk, mind you, a part-timer, spotted this out and realized, hey, these lines don't match up. These, you know, this information doesn't line up. Why do I have duplicates of the same petition? You know, I just spotted it, and they're going to pay for this.
Well, these are felony and misdemeanor charges, and I imagine their reputations may be forever stained with this. And 448 took part in this, so this story won't go away.
No, and it's not going to go away either, because Bill Schuette's going to make sure these people are sufficiently prosecuted. You know, there's politics involved here on his end. I mean, just kind of like the prosecutor over in Kent County there with Roy Schmidt. I mean, they don't want to make it look like they're giving Republicans any type of break because they're Republicans. I mean, they're going to try and prosecute these people as hard as possible, set an example, show folks, independents, Democrats, Republicans, people all over, that when it comes to committing a crime, when elections are being taken advantage of, they're going to expose as much as they possibly can. Now, I did think it was interesting that McCotter didn't get charged in this, but Bill Schuette did use some very strong words against McCotter. He said that he was asleep at the switch, he wasn't minding the store, and that he resigned in disgrace and could find no reason or any evidence that linked him to this. Now, you know, it's possible that there could have been a charge here. I mean, he was the man in charge. He was overseeing all of this. And so it's conceivable that there could have been a charge, I suppose. It makes you wonder if he didn't resign to avoid charges.
All right. So what's next with this story?
Well, these folks are getting arraigned, I believe, today. And they're just going to go through the legal process. You know, McCotter is now out of office and doesn't want to talk to the media right now. And there's going to be a special election, special primary on September 8 to determine who's going to make it through the Republican and Democratic primary. And then the special election will be held at the same time as the regular election on November 6th. And the winner of that will serve the last 6 weeks of McCotter's term, and a new congressperson will be elected to serve from 2013 to 2014.
All right, Kyle, give us your take on the emergency manager ballot measure story.
Well, I think the Republicans, I think realize that there may be bigger fish to fry here on the legal front. You take a look at what was that question here, and we're talking about the size of the petitions wording that were used by the folks who want to repeal PA4, which is the emergency manager law. And, you know, you could almost use this argument going forward, that because a computer program says that you are using 14-point font, doesn't mean that when you actually put it on paper and you get out a font ruler and measure it, that it's 14-point. But is that your fault? You know, you just thought when you used Microsoft Word and you used whatever, you know, Times Roman or whatever font that you used, and it said 14-point, that was 14-point. And why would you second-guess that? I mean, why would you take a font ruler to it? And so I think that they made the right call, the Supreme Court did, in saying, going forward, this is going to be the standard. But in this case, there's, you know, the folks thought they were using 14-point, and so, you know, let's just let it go forward. The bigger fish to fry here, though, Tony, is this collective bargaining agreement, or this collective bargaining ballot proposal, this Protect Our Jobs ballot proposal, where there's going to be several, changes made to existing law. I mean, there's Bill Schuette said there's up to 170 laws that are going to be changed if this ballot proposal goes through. It's going to eliminate all the restrictions on collective bargaining. It's something that the business community is really concerned about. And there's kind of two thoughts going in on this, Tony. I mean, there's one saying, you know, let's try and kill this thing in the courts so it never gets on the ballot. And that way we don't have to worry about it. You know, we do have a Republican Supreme Court, and, you know, I'm sure we could get them to side with us. But then there's another side saying, let's kill this thing dead. Let's get it on the ballot, and let's see it voted down. And then when it's voted down, we have a clear road to try and get a right-to-work initiative passed in this state through the legislature. We would actually have the voters on our side, or at least we could claim that anyway. We could say this was a referendum on right-to-work. We could say that this was a referendum on going full-bore one way with the unions. So let's go full board the other way with us. It's a question, you know, the courts or the ballot. You know, where do we want to kill this thing? And I don't think it's been decided yet.
All right, Kyle, in regards to Schuette, did he mention the lawsuit that he has filed to have 7 Detroit school board members removed from office and asking for an injunction to block the future auction or future action by the board? The AG's been busy.
Yeah, he has been. And no, he didn't mention that, which is unfortunate, but I can understand why he didn't. I mean, that is an extremely unpopular, action that he took yesterday for the people in the city of Detroit. That press release was issued at 7 o'clock yesterday after most reporters had gone home. Most of the news cycles had been completed. I mean, if you want to drop something and not make a splash, about 7 o'clock in the morning, or 7 o'clock in the evening is a good time to do it. That is really a knock on the back of the head of the city of Detroit and the school board there. I mean, what he's saying is that because the legislature didn't go and amend a bunch of state laws when they were no longer a class one school district or whatever the verbiage is that gave them a special set of rules to follow, that they got to be punished for that now, and that 7 of the 11 elected school board members are not serving properly because they weren't elected at large. Instead, they followed the, you know, what they were used to doing, which was being elected by districts. It sounds like this was kind of a in reaction to PA4 getting on the ballot, because when PA4 got on the ballot, it got suspended. So now we had to go back to our old emergency manager law, which doesn't give these EMs the power to revoke and alter union contracts, which is really what this is about. And so since they couldn't do that, and it gives school boards a little bit more power, it was like, hey, you know what? PA4 may be suspended, but guess what? More than half of your school board isn't on the board properly, and they're going to have to be removed. So your board has no power anyway because you don't have a quorum.
All right.
Too bad for you.
All right, Kyle, last question for you in regards to the Michigan Public School Employees Retirement System. What's the latest with that story?
Randy Richardville, the Senate Majority Leader, said that yesterday that he thinks that they have a tentative deal on that. And that's going to move forward when the legislature comes back on the 15th. There was that particular piece has been held up in the Senate because there were some senators who wanted to just close MITSRs altogether and go to a 401k type, you know, defined contribution system. It looks like that that's being postponed, and they're just going to be content with a study for now.
All right. Kyle Malin is the editor of the MERS newsletter. Thanks so much, Kyle.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Tony. Thank you.
It's a rainy Friday morning, 65 degrees, breezy outside, but take your